Welcome to Compliance Perspectives. I'm your host, Courtney Nordrum. With me today is Al Josephs of Tenet Healthcare. Hi, Al.
Hi. How are you?
I'm great. We're live on site at the 20th Anniversary Compliance Institute in Las Vegas. Al's here as one of our speakers, and I pulled him aside to get him to talk a little bit with us before he goes into a session. But first, Al, can you tell us a little bit about your compliance journey?
Sure. It was really interesting this morning here in the general session, Roy talking about the PATH audits that started, back in 1994, I think. I was a controller at a hospital, and no one wanted to manage that audit, so I got that job, and then after that, it just sparked from there, and I got interested in compliance, and then found the Healthcare Compliance Association after that, and been in compliance ever since, and watched the profession grow. So,
how long have you been a member?
I guess I joined in about 95, 96, somewhere around in there.
Wow, so you were probably one of our earliest members.
Yep.
From the original group.
There you go.
So Al is an expert in talking about monitoring and safeguards of compliance programs. So I wanted to get his perspective on that today. Can you tell me why it's such an important topic?
Well, I think it's become even more important recently than it has in the past. It's always a key element of a compliance program to make sure you're monitoring and doing the things that you say you're going to do. But even now, the government has gotten even smarter, and they're starting to ask about, well, what are you doing to monitor? What was your latest, most recent risk assessment? We want to see that results in what you did to mitigate any issues that you might have found. So it comes a little bit higher on the importance level of making sure that you're doing something routinely. At Tenet, we've taken a really aggressive approach to making sure that we have good, clear documentation, and also that we have a good repository for all the audit work we do. As most folks that have had a government investigation will know, they'll go back several years, and so you have to pull up all that information to be able to present it to them in a way that's clear and concise, and they get a sense of, yes, you do have an effective program, and you're doing a lot of audit work and making sure you're getting it right. So
it's not just doing the auditing, it's making sure you're documenting everything thoroughly.
Exactly. And I think, you know, the findings are certainly a key part of it, because it's always opportunities for improvement. But you want to make sure that you're getting adequate credit for the hard work that you've done and that it's restored. We talk a lot about in our compliance department the fact that the work we do today may not get looked at for 5 years. I may not be there in 5 years. So we want to be sure that whoever picks it up has a good, concise, can get a good, concise understanding of what work was done, what the findings were, and how they were mitigated.
What would you say are the three most important things to keep in mind when you're building a program to monitor and safeguard your compliance program?
Okay. I think the number one thing, which may be a little bit strange because you think is one being the first thing you do, but the number one thing is to think about what you want in terms of results. A lot of times you can get started, I've got all these wonderful questions I want to ask, got all these wonderful audit work I want to do, and you get to the end, and do you really have a product, or did you get the answer that you wanted to get from the particular work or scope of work that you were looking at? So think about the ending first. Mm-hmm. Think what the outcome that is. You can oftentimes send out, you know, surveys or questions or have auditors, individuals go out and audit things, but if you're not getting them to ask the right questions in the right way, so that the answer you get at the end may not be what you want.
Yeah.
So it's not productive to not think about the end product. So, and then the second thing is just being flexible, because as you get into examining different issues, you may have to take a different direction. Or
okay.
An issue may, as you get into it, you may find peripheral information that opens up a whole nother avenue that you have to kind of set aside, make sure you deal with that, but stay focused on what you're working on. And of course, the third thing would be what I talked about at the first, and that is having a good, clear documentation, good reporting, and good accountability on who is responsible for mitigating the issues that you may find.
So over the last 20 years that you've been really kind of entrenched in compliance, what trends have you seen come and go as far as monitoring your compliance program?
Well, I think the biggest thing is the direction that the government has taken in terms of data mining.
Okay.
And I think we heard that this morning, is the more they look at data, the more sophisticated we really need to get on an internal basis, because it, you know, this sounds, I guess, elementary in the sense of it's just not fair. They're looking at our data. We should be looking at it first. I mean, we do have lots of controls in place in terms of how we assure claims are accurate before we submit them, but we, you know, oftentimes haven't gotten sophisticated enough. We're working that direction in Tenet to begin to look at all of our information from a different perspective once it's gone out the door.
Okay, so it's a lot of organizations and healthcare organizations trying to play catch up with what the government wants,
sure,
instead of the government trying to regulate backwards.
Right.
So he's trying to stay ahead of the game.
Yes, I think it's a kind of witness of great compliance programs that are having interest in making that happen, because we have a responsibility. Once it goes out the door, it's not over. So we need to make sure we're circling back around to make sure that what we submitted, no trends are developing that we need to change or adjust to. So data mining has become a huge, I think, focus for the industry.
So you mentioned listening this morning. This morning we had Inspector General of HHS Daniel Levinson speak with us. Was there anything that he spoke about in addition to the data mining that piqued your interest or really got your ear that you think that you're going to be needing to adjust for or needing to be more vigilant of for 2016?
Well, I think in general he always does a wonderful job of talking about some of the new programs that are coming out. One mm-hmm. of the things I'm interested in, I'll follow up and hopefully get an opportunity to ask him, is new guidance on some of the, you know, things that are coming out with the Affordable Care Act or others. I know we don't, some of those issues, they've done a really wonderful job of developing compliance guidance in the past. We haven't mm-hmm. had a whole lot of new stuff, but I bet some of that's going to be coming out down the road. So that's kind of information I'm looking forward to hearing from him.
As everyone settles into ICD-10 and the ACA, mm-hmm. trying to say, okay, so where should we be going with our compliance programs in relation to the relatively new regulations?
Yeah, exactly. And that's a, you know, that's a wonderful example of ICD-10. Everyone now, there was such a big push in training and getting to it now. We're spending a lot of time doing the analytics of what impact it's had on us,
mm-hmm.
what impact it has on the claims. I think I've read across the industry that there's a lot of case mix index changes
really?
That were expected to come out of all of this because of the more precise coding that's being done. So a lot of analytics going there in terms of, you know, what's the financial impact on the organization, but also what's the accuracy of the coding that we're submitting to the government as a claim.
Has it been as challenging as it was anticipated to be?
Well, I think most everyone did a wonderful job in preparation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's, you know, while it was frustrating for it to be put off several times, I think it allowed everyone to get the kind of training in that they wanted to for ICD-10. And I think that's made that transition better.
That's an interesting perspective. I haven't spoken with many compliance officers as to kind of looking back over the evolution of going from ICD-9 to ICD-10. And I feel like it happened rather seamlessly once it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was so well prepared that they flipped the switch and it was done. But looking back and talking about things that are in the past, you've been associated with the HCCA for most of, if not all of, our 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think has been the biggest benefit of that?
Well, it's been a great, I mean, you can't hear me say anything bad about HCCA. The great aspects of the organization is the collegiality of the people that work. I got involved early on, met Roy Snell and Debbie. I was on the board, was president of the organization as well. But the way I did that was not, there's not a process you go through. I just was interested in meeting people and interested in promoting compliance. And there's always an audience for that with HCCA.
Oh, yeah.
If you're willing to step up and work and do the kinds of things that you know that help the organization, there's going to be someone there that's going to say, okay, we're going to put this person to work as a volunteer, and you can have all the opportunities you want. But it's work. And it's really, you know, it's pressing. Debbie is just a mate. Debbie Trokos is amazing in terms of how she's been able to commit the kind of voluntary time that she has to this organization, and we're all enjoying the fruits of that effort. So
yes, she's the mom of the organization.
Yep, there you go. For sure.
She's our mama bear at
for
the top.
Sure, for sure.
Between she and Roy, they really keep us on a pretty solid path, I think.
I think you're right.
So looking back, things have changed significantly. What do you expect for the next 20 years for both HCCA and healthcare compliance in general?
Well, I think, you know, I think the association's taken the right direction with the SCCE and that effort and pulling in the other industries that are involved in compliance. I would think in the next 5 to 10 years, I would expect to see a little bit, us have one huge convention at some point, one huge institute.
I think it would be fascinating
to be able to visit with others in other industries and get ideas from them and how we, you know, might do things differently in our industry. So I think I may be retired and gone by that time, but I think that'll be a wonderful conference to attend if that does in fact happen. There you go. Yeah. Yep.
So Al, I want to thank you so much for taking some time out of your very busy schedule to speak with me today. And for all of our listeners, I'll let you know that I'll have Al's information in the blog post. So thank you so much, Al.
You bet. Thank you.